It's Monday, February 27th. You're riding home with your host, Seth Dunn, and we will stop the show when I get to the cleaners. It's one of those days where all my pants are dirty. Oh no, disaster. Show notes fell off. This sticky note just doesn't have it. I can already tell it's going to fall off a lot during the show. That's okay. I only need it for the Bible chapter review. It is the dreaded day before close. I don't know when I'll get the Christian commute out tomorrow, because I'll be working late with month end close. And my baby came on month end close last month, so I didn't do anything last month for month end close. So all the people who covered for me probably didn't do it like I would. So I'm going to have trouble rolling this over, I can already tell. But we'll see. I have no question in the Christian Commute inbox today. Do you have a theological question? Do you need theological roadside assistance? You can write in to me at sethdunn88@gmail.com. That is sethdunn88@gmail.com. That is the Christian Commute inbox. That's where you can submit your show topic suggestions or your theological or apologetic questions. I got to describe what apologetics was to somebody today at work. He told me he had just read The Case for Christ, and I was like, I haven't read it, but I know what you're talking about because I'm getting a degree in apologetics. And he said, what is that? So I said, well, it comes from the Greek word apologia. Is it apologia or apologia? I think it's apologia. Apologia. I didn't pronounce it right. Whatever. He didn't know. He wasn't a Greek scholar. So it'll just be my secret and yours. Apologetics is important. But to be a good apologist, you must be a good theologian. That's why it is so important that every day on the show, we do our Bible chapter review. This is actually my personal Bible study. You need to be in the Word regularly, lest you forget it. And you can always be applying it to your life. So thank you for joining me on my Bible study. We are still in 1 Corinthians 15. We're in verses 20 through 23, and my voice is going, I can tell. I've been having a hard time with this early spring. I've been taking Zyrtec to keep the allergies at bay. We'll see how well that works. Paul shows the syllogisms to be unsound here. All the conditional statements he made, if Christ is not raised, they're actually sound syllogisms. If Christ is not raised, then this, that, or the other. He doesn't necessarily show the arguments themselves unsound. He just shows that we can't apply them because Christ is raised. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:20. Now Christ is raised. So he says all these, if Christ isn't raised, then your faith is in vain. If Christ isn't raised, then we're to be pitied. If Christ isn't raised, then we have hope in this life only. If Christ isn't raised, then those who have died in Christ have perished. But Christ is raised. Now Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of the dead. Or the first fruits from the dead. What does this mean? Well, the resurrection is general. The resurrection applies to every man. Everyone is going to be resurrected. So, especially the Jews hearing this would understand first fruits. Because in the Old Testament time, when the harvest came in, the people were supposed to dedicate the first fruits of their harvest to the Lord. And if anybody has ever been involved in a church building campaign, somebody has probably come up with a quote-unquote first fruits offering. You need to give your first fruits over and above your normal tithe for our new building process. Because people just can't ask for building money. They just can't say, we need a new building, guys. Ours is getting old, or we don't have enough room, so we need to build a new one. So everybody pledge some money so we can build a new one. They have to make it biblical, quote-unquote biblical. Scare quote biblical. Oh, this is first fruits. But they would have understood what first fruits are. The things that come first in a group of many. Think about when you're gardening. I like to plant okra every spring. So those first little okra pods are special. I was like, oh, my okra is bearing. And then I cut them off and I go inside and I fry it up. My wife does, actually. And then more okra grows all throughout the season. So is the same with first fruits. There is the first fruit of the vine, if you will. The first harvest of whatever you're planting comes to bear. And you pick that. And then more is to come. You understand more is to come. Oh, there's a Yankee going slow in front of me. And a Jeep Limited. Get out of my way, Yankee. I can't pass him either. Oh, look, there's a Canadian in the middle lane. Oh, you guys are really messing up the Christian commute. Where's this license plate from? It's written so small I can't even read it. Get out of my way. They're both going the same speed. Don't you guys hate it when you get behind somebody and they're going the exact same speed as the person in the middle lane? It's like, hey, why are you people in different lanes? I'm trying to teach people about first fruits here. All right, I'm making my big move. Come on, get over. Get out of the way. Where's this person from? I can't even read their license plate. It's like from some other country or something. Yeah, this guy's not in a hurry. Get out of... Oh, come on. Now he's speeding up. He's like one of these guys who goes slow. Oh, you're going to pass me. I won't speed up. All right. Yeah. Oh. You know what he did? He just got over. Thanks. He got over after I passed you. Oh, did you realize you were going way too slow? Okay. Back to the Bible. Back to talking about first fruits. Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. In some way, he's kind of like a preview of what is to come. Everyone is going to be resurrected. People like to make the argument that Jesus proved he was God because he came back to life. Well, everybody's going to come back to life. He just proved that he was the first fruits of the resurrection. And he did say he was about to do it. What is Paul getting at here? Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. Does that mean everybody is going to be resurrected? Yes, yes, everybody is. Because Jesus is a type of Adam, if you will. Paul delineates between two types of men and what comes from them. One brings death and one brings life. So the first Adam, who is Adam, through one man came death. And as through that one man came death, through another man came life. Christ is the second Adam. Paul says, "For in Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive." So as if we go back to the garden, we see that God said, "Don't eat of that tree, or you'll surely die." And Adam and Eve did. So they died. Death entered the world at the fall, at the curse. So everybody dies now. So through this one man, through the first man, Adam, who is understood to be our federal head. That's a theology term you'll hear sometimes. It's not in the Bible anywhere, but Adam was the representative of the entire human race to come. All right? And he failed at keeping God's commands, and through him came death. And then came Jesus, virgin born, a second Adam. Unlike Adam, Jesus overcame the devil's temptations and lived a sinless life. And now Christ is now our representative, at least if you're a Christian. So now Christ is our new representative before God, not Adam. Christ is our new federal head, so to speak. So just as in Adam all die, in Christ all live. So doesn't it make sense then, if death can come through one man, cannot life come through one man? Adam was the first man to die. We all die. Jesus is the first man to be resurrected. We we will all be resurrected. Now, we know there are tales of people coming back to life before Jesus. Lazarus was resurrected by Jesus, but of course he died again. He wasn't resurrected into his new resurrection body, into his eternal state. The same thing, I think Jesus resurrected a couple people besides Lazarus, the somebody's dead child outside of the city. I think somebody's daughter, like the leader of the synagogue, his daughter, they thought she was dead. It's unclear whether she was just really sick or dead, whether Jesus brought her to life or not. And then I think the widow of Nain, was that Elijah or Elisha? I can't remember. Brought back a widow's son, brought him to life. But all these people, we understand, died again. Jesus came back to life, and then he didn't die of old age or some other infirmity. This is the resurrection. In fact, if you go back and look at the story of Lazarus, when Jesus is on his way to Lazarus's town, what was it, Bethany? I can't remember the name of the town. And he gets there, and Martha, Lazarus's sister, says, "Oh, Jesus, if you'd only been here." Is it Mary or Martha? I think it's Martha. "Oh, Jesus, if you'd been here, Lazarus would still be alive." And he goes, "Don't you believe in me?" She, "Yeah, yeah, I believe in you." He goes, "Well, don't you believe in the resurrection?" She goes, "Yeah, I believe. I know everybody's going to be resurrected one day." And that's what she's talking about, this general resurrection. Not what Jesus is about to do with her brother, but this general resurrection. So Christ is raised as the first fruits of the resurrection. There are more resurrections to come. Those of us who have died in Christ will be resurrected to new life. Those of us who will die in Christ will be resurrected to new life. So how are you resurrected to eternal life if you're in Christ? Because remember, the resurrection covers everybody. Some people are going to be raised to judgment. Now let's talk about today's show topic. I'm going to call today's show topic is Joe Camel Christianity. Who remembers Joe Camel? You don't see Joe Camel anymore. When I was a kid, Joe Camel was everywhere. Joe Camel was on billboards, he was on t-shirts, he's on advertisements, and he was a mascot for the cigarette company, for the brand of cigarettes, Camel Cigarettes. Camel Cigarettes were made by RJR. R.J. Reynolds Cigarettes out of North Carolina, I believe. Oh, it was eventually purchased by Nabisco, RJR Nabisco. Nabisco made snack crackers for you to live on and cigarettes to kill you. And their competition, mainly, was Marlboro. Now, if you're from where I'm from, you call it Marlboro. Marlboro cigarettes, but I'm pretty sure it's Marlboro cigarettes. And the Marlboro man was their mascot. He was a cowboy. All right. You got Captain Crunch selling cereal, Mr. Clean selling Kleenex, cleaning products. You got the Michelin man selling tires. And you have the Marlboro man and Joe Camel selling cigarettes. And people argued, Joe Camel's a cartoon character. He's made to appeal to kids. And you'd see Joe Camel playing pool, or he'd be out somewhere, and Joe Camel would be smoking Camel cigarettes. And if you saved up enough Camel bucks, because, you know, that Camel bucks would come with Camel cigarettes, you could send them in and get Joe Camel gear. Get Joe Camel hats, Joe Camel t-shirts. Well, why was this? Why would they want to appeal to kids? Kids can't smoke. Not legally, but they knew, the cigarette companies knew that young people smoked whether they're allowed to or not, and they wanted them to pick their brand early. Brand loyalty is a thing that starts young. So those who sell food and sell any kind of consumer good, could be cigarettes, want your brand loyalty. When Jif peanut butter says choosy moms choose Jif, they want those kids raised on Jif peanut butter. Because if your mom's a choosy mom and she chooses Jif, you're raised on Jif peanut butter. And then that's the kind of peanut butter you buy when you grow up and have your own kids. When I was little, we used Peter Pan peanut butter. I don't know why my mom and dad bought Peter Pan peanut butter. I don't know if it cost more or less than other brands of peanut butter. I know that's what kind of peanut butter we buy. And if you send me to the store till this day, I'll buy Peter Pan peanut butter. Because I'm brand loyal. That's what I'm used to. Not even going to try Jif. Or... I don't even know if I can name another brand of peanut butter. Or store brand peanut butter. Now, my wife is not brand loyal to peanut butter. She'll come home with peanut butter and this isn't Peter Pan peanut butter. But that's how brand loyalty works. They want to get people while they're young so they never test or try out anything else. That was the strategy behind Joe Camel. Get young people hooked on cigarettes. Now that they're hooked on nicotine, they'll always be a smoker. But if I'm RJ Reynolds, I want them smoking Camels, not Marlboros. It's so hard for me to say. Think of somebody you know who smokes. All right, you surely have somebody in your life who smokes. When do you ever see them with a different brand of cigarettes? Probably pretty rarely. Once people pick their brand of cigarette, that's what they stick with. Whether it be Camel or Marlboro or American Spirit or what's that one for ladies? Oh, there was one for ladies back in the day. I can't remember what it was. Virginia Slims. Virginia Slims, I think those are for ladies. Cool with a K. I've never smoked. I don't know why I know so many cigarette brands. My brother had a job once when he was in college in summers. And his job was to go around with a pro billiards player named Johnny Archer. You can look Johnny Archer up on the internet. I'm not sure he's on tour anymore. So he's one of these world-class pool players. And my brother's job was to go around with Johnny Archer on tour, because I think Johnny Archer was sponsored by Camel, and find people smoking in pool halls. And ask them, are those Marlboros? Yes. Well, can I give you a pack of Camels for your pack of Marlboros? Or maybe two packs of Camels for your one pack of Marlboro? Why were they doing this? Because those people are not going to go into the store and buy Camel cigarettes because they're brand loyal to Marlboro. So they had to send representatives to places where people smoked. I don't know how many of you fine Christians have ever hung out in the pool hall, but it is a place where there's a lot of smoking. All right, you can go to the Chattanooga Billiards Club in Chattanooga and you will suffocate. Pool halls are smoky places. That's why the tobacco company sponsored Johnny Archer and sent my brother. They could afford to send a sales rep on tour to go to these pool halls to trade people cigarettes because it was that important to get them to switch. Here's another thing you Christians probably aren't familiar with. Anybody ever watch the show Mad Men? I tried to watch a few episodes, but it was too worldly for me, so I stopped watching it. And on the first episode, it's about ad executives. There's this big creative director. His name's Don Draper, the main character, and he's in trouble. He can't figure out with a new ad campaign for Lucky Strike cigarettes, and it's a giant client. And the show's set in the 60s, and people are just now finding out that cigarettes killed him. And he's got a big pitch for Lucky Strike, and he doesn't know what to tell him. And he's sitting in a restaurant, and the waiter comes up, and he says, "What do you smoke?" And the waiter says, "Old Golds." And he goes, "Would you really be willing to try Lucky Strike?" And he goes, "No, I wouldn't give my Old Golds up for anything. I've been smoking them since the Army." And Don Draper, he says, "Well, you know, I've been smoking Lucky Strikes since the Army." It's brand loyalty. It's super important. When I worked in the grocery industry, we had programs to sell our groceries. I worked for George Pacific, so we sold paper towels and Dixie cups and Dixie plates and toilet paper. We had big-time programs to sell these products to military-based grocery stores. Military bases have their own brands of grocery stores. You know, we have Publix and Kroger in the public realm. Well, military bases have their own brand too, depending on if it's the Army or the Navy. And we were desperate to get our deals and our products into these grocery stores. Why? Because these 19 and 20 year old military kids would send their 19 and 20 year old wives who lived on the base to the PX, the public exchange, to buy these groceries. And 10 years later, they were going to be retired from the military and they're going to be shopping at Publix and Kroger. And we wanted to grow that brand loyalty with our product. It's all about brand loyalty when you're selling something. Now, how does this relate to Christianity? Why did I give you that long speech on marketing? All right. Why did I entitle this episode Joe Camel Christianity? Well, because that's what a lot of Christian media is. And a lot of Christian strategy is this: get them while they are young. Because if they get interested in something else, whether it be video games, NFL football, Dungeons and Dragons, you know, tennis, trivia, whatever else, if something else takes them away from church, they won't be interested in church when they're adults. Now, here is a statistical fact. I don't know how this works out with the Holy Spirit in election, but if you look at a Barna survey, it's something like 90%. It's something ridiculous. You'll have to look it up. 80 or 90% of people who get saved before age 18. Almost nobody gets saved as an elderly person. So the older you get, the less likely it is that you're going to make a profession of faith. So well-meaning or not, church people, people charged with growing churches, or people in the church industry, they try to get you while you're young. They want to get you into Christian music, and they want to move along with you. They offer something for the young people, and as you age, they want to offer you something different, but it has to get you interested in Christianity. Well, when you're young, it's something like Winter Jam, and it's all these bands. All these bands that love young people love to go jam out to. When I was a kid, it was DC Talk. All the Christian kids that were into that kind of thing, they, what would people say if they knew that I was Jesus free? DC Talk. They loved DC Talk. Stephen Curtis Chapman was a thing. I saw the other day they have a DC Talk cruise for all those 30 and 40 old people who grew up and could afford to have a cruise and want to go on the DC Talk. They want to get you into a brand and keep you in Christianity through what they are selling you. Look at a Lifeway Christian Resources store. You'll find a lot of material by Sarah Young. And look what they have. They have Jesus Calling for teens, and they have regular Jesus Calling. So they have the teenage version of Jesus Calling and the old person Jesus is calling. They want to have something offered for someone of every age because they want to keep you coming back to Lifeway your whole life. So when you're young, they want you to watch Woodlawn. It's a high school movie. High school Christians, you need to be watching Woodlawn. Then when you get into college, well, now you need to watch God's Not Dead. And then when you get out and you're on your own, and you have a family, well, now you need to watch War Room or Fireproof or whatever. It's marketing demographics just the same. But here's the problem with Joe Camel Christianity. It can be, I'm not saying it always is, it can be as addictive as cigarettes, but it's empty and unhealthy. Remember I told you about my friend, I gave her initials, JR, in high school, who was real, oh gosh, she had strong erotic feelings for the Lord, we'll say. And yeah, that can be addicting, but it's not really what it is, is it? So, when you make Christianity fun for kids, pizza party, youth group type stuff, lots of games, lots of fun books and games and music concerts, It gets people interested. You get them hooked. But do you really retain those people? Well, statistics say that half of kids raised in church after they leave and go to college never come back. So if you're a Christian parent listening to this, I want you to really think about what the Christian industrial complex is trying to push on your kids. Are they just trying to hook a customer for life to get interested in Christian media? Because listen, you don't need doctrinally sound media to do that. You don't. You can just be entertaining, and people will want to be entertained their whole life, and they'll think, I can always go to Lifeway for some form of entertainment. And I think I might make another show topic about that one day. Or are they getting the hard truth of Christianity? Think about the rich young ruler. Jesus told him straight up what he needed to do, and the rich young ruler went away very sad. Jesus said, do this, sell all your possessions, give them to the poor, and follow me. And the rich young ruler went away very sad because he had lots of possessions and he didn't want to give them up. Is what is being presented to your kid, your children right now, is it Joe Camel Christianity to get them hooked? Or is it the real deal Christianity that's hard, that says you're going to have to count the cost to be Christ's disciple? Somebody's going to hate you later. You're going to have a hard time at work later. You're going to have a hard time in relationships later because you're being loyal to the king. Are you being marked and set apart as different? Or are they just being giving, are they given worldly entertainment with a Christian veneer? You know, it's kind of like, is it VeggieTales? I mean, they start them young. No, it's VeggieTales. Now we're going to Winter Extreme. Now we got the Young Adult Conference. Now we got the Beth Moore Women's Conference. There's something for every age and every demo. Look it up. This is nothing more than Joe Camel Christianity if it doesn't teach you the tenets of the Christian faith and challenge you. So beware of Joe Camel Christianity and beware of the church growth people using their worldly schemes. I'm at the cleaners. I hope my long lecture on marketing didn't bore you, but I really do hope it opened your eyes. Once you learn about marketing and you look at what church is doing, sometimes it can be a little shocking. We need to get the business model out of church and get the Bible model in. Amen? That's me being a fundamental. We need to get the business model out the church and get the Bible model in. Amen? We need to get out of Facebook and into the good book. Amen? I've worked in Calhoun so long, I'm turning into an independent fundamentalist Baptist preacher. Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. God bless you all. This is your host, Seth Dunn. Until tomorrow.